Stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are so delighted that you're here with us, folks. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, today we're going to talk about, is your faith like Nicodemus's faith? And we're going to look at Scripture. There's a lot of what we can learn by going through and just looking at Scripture on what Nicodemus and who he thought he was, what he thought he believed in, what he thought were the intentions of his heart and mind, and yet what God says about him.
All right. Well, with that, I'll open us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord God, for this day. We thank you, O Lord God, for the rain that's falling, that's feeding the ground and the plants around us. Father, we thank you for our homes, for our jobs. We thank you, O Father, for this time together, and we thank you for your word. We praise you, O Lord God, in all things. We ask, O Lord, that you be with us during this time, that you bless this word, that it reach and touch the hearts of those that listen, that they may understand the truth in your Scripture, and that they might apply it in their lives, and that they might grow from it. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So today, Kyle, we're going to start off in John chapter 3. Kyle, in John chapter 3, it talks about a man named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Jew, but not just a Jew. He had other things. Who was Nicodemus in chapter 3, verse 1?
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
So this Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, a leader of the people.
Yep.
Now, Nicodemus came to Jesus. What does he say when he came to Jesus in verse 2?
The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Now, a couple things that I noticed that are interesting here. One, he does address Jesus as what?
Rabbi. Or teacher.
Yep. And a teacher. Just any teacher?
No, a teacher that has come from God.
A teacher that has come from God. So he's acknowledging Jesus as a teacher of truth, authority, not a deceiver, but one who is correct, as coming from God. And not only that, but what else does he acknowledge in verse 2?
For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
So he's like, listen, you have the signs to prove it. God is with you. So I'm pointing this out because if you were to ask, does Nicodemus believe in Jesus, what would you say?
I would say that he believes that he's come from God, that he's a teacher sent by God, and it's exercise of miracles is proof of that.
Yeah. And we have no indication that he was trying to trap him, like in other places where it says, oh, you know, the Jews tried to trap Jesus. He actually seems to be sincere. Now,
he came by night.
Now, he came by night. There's speculation about that of okay, why was it by night? Was he fearful of other people seeing him? What was the real reason? Well, we'll keep looking through. It's interesting that we get into light and darkness later on in John chapter 3. But for now, we just want to establish he calls Jesus a teacher that has come from God, a teacher that God is with, that God testifies by proof that God is with him, by signs and wonders. You know, this is the same logical argument that Jesus gives to people when he says why they should believe him.
That's right.
Because the words he speaks are from his Father, and the works that he does testifies that he's from God.
Amen.
So Jesus responds to him with a statement. What is this statement?
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Now, Nicodemus thought he was part of the kingdom of God. Nicodemus thought he was serving God. The first thing Jesus answers him is something that Jesus knows he doesn't understand. And basically says, listen, if you are not born again, you will not see what?
The kingdom of God.
Those could be kind of insulting words if you think about it. Now, Nicodemus, does he understand what Jesus, who is a teacher from God, does he understand what that statement meant?
No. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
And Jesus answers,
verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Now remember, before Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus obviously does not understand. He hasn't heard of this before. He actually seems to think that it's impossible, does he not?
Yep.
So Jesus again repeats what he said before. Unless you're born of the Spirit of God, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we know that there's two births. There's the natural birth, born of water or of the flesh, and there's born of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nicodemus, again, he's a teacher of the Jews, one who teaches the Jews how to follow and serve God. Now, Jesus then tells him, do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So he explains to Nicodemus that there's two births.
Yep.
There's two different births. Does Nicodemus now think, okay, maybe this is possible because it's not the natural birth, it's a separate spiritual birth. Mm-hmm. Does he understand?
No. Nicodemus and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
So Jesus says, listen, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Kyle, do you notice that they're both talking in the we?
Yep.
You know, even Nicodemus, you know, he seems to talk that way, and Jesus also.
Yeah, he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God.
That's right. Now Jesus
so he
is
was
saying
in the we.
What we teach. Well, Jesus was the one that was teaching.
Yep.
Right? The other people didn't understand yet. But I just want to point that out because that was common at the time. And a lot of people say, ooh, as soon as they see a we, they think they make it something that it's really not.
Right.
So a lot of times it implies those who are of that same position.
Right.
But here, Jesus points out, acknowledges that Nicodemus is a teacher, but he says that Nicodemus does not understand.
Right.
Not only that, Jesus says that the things that we speak or the things that he was teaching and testifying of, does he say that Nicodemus accepts his testimony?
No, he doesn't accept it.
In verse 11, he says, you do not accept our testimony. Now think about that. Nicodemus came to Jesus.
Yep.
Nicodemus believes and acknowledges and confesses that Jesus is from God, that Jesus teaches the things of God, that God is with Jesus and testifies of Jesus with signs and wonders. And yet, even though Nicodemus in his own mind believes that Jesus is teaching truth and is from God, Jesus says that Nicodemus does not accept Jesus' teaching.
Yeah, well, and it's also there. It's the use, here I am in the King James, which kind of the nice thing about that is the verse in verse 11. I'm going to read the whole thing, but I want to point out an important word use there. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, just as you were talking about. And ye, which is the you all in the old language there, and you all receive not our witness. So it's not just pointed to him, but it's even all of them like him.
Yep. So he continues, and what does Jesus say as you keep reading through verse 14?
Okay. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
And so again, here, you know, Jesus is saying, even if I told you earthly things, you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?
Right.
You know, up to this point, Jesus was doing a lot of simple teaching.
Yep.
And yet the people didn't understand. And so when Jesus tries to tell them the spiritual things about being born again, he's even more perplexed, like it's impossible. And yet Nicodemus believes in Jesus. But yet Jesus says, you do not believe. Kyle, to believe is not to believe what we think in our understanding. To believe is to believe in the truth of what God says is the truth. Kyle, there are so many people who have a faith like Nicodemus. They acknowledge that Jesus is from God. They acknowledge that Jesus is a true teacher, that the things that he teaches are the things from God. They believe and acknowledge that God testified with signs, wonders, proving that Jesus was the Son of God. The problem is they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't know. And because they don't understand and know the spiritual things of truth, God says, you don't believe. God says, you do not accept my teaching. God says, you do not understand. Now, we did more of this in, you know, John 3:16, it's a conditional verse. And we went a lot other passages that talked about people who believe but didn't have a belief that could save them. We also covered another passage episode that we did. We talked about you must believe and you must receive the Holy Spirit. And we go into other passages. But here, just looking at Nicodemus, he didn't understand. Now, most people don't even pick up on these things because all they know is John 3:16. So we would continue. Verse 15 and 16.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Now, the key here is it doesn't say shall, it says should, because it's a conditional subjective use of the verb.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, whoever is believing might in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever is believing in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Well, how do we take the mites and take them to wills? We covered more of that in other episodes, but we'll keep reading to see anything else Jesus talks about here with instructions to Nicodemus. Now, in verse 17, God sent the Son into the world to what?
Not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That the world through him might be saved. Now, that's the point. If God didn't want to bring, because the world's already condemned,
yep.
Right? So he didn't need to bring Jesus into the world to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. In Romans, it says we're all under condemnation until you escape the condemnation. There's only one way to escape condemnation. That's through faith in Christ.
Amen.
So it's not like, oh, God doesn't condemn. No, actually he does. Everyone already stands condemned. The question is whether or not you escape the sentence of hell, which God has already condemned you to.
Yeah, and you just basically summed up verse 18 there. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
But yet Nicodemus believed in the name of Jesus, but not in the belief that God requires.
That's right.
You see, he didn't have the understanding. He didn't know. And so Nicodemus's belief was nothing to him. As you keep reading in verse 19, it says, this is judgment, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Kyle, what is the evidence given for why men love darkness rather than light? Is it because they say they love the light?
No, it's because their deeds were evil.
Oh, that's why they love darkness, because their deeds were evil.
Yep.
Now, Nicodemus, who was righteous in the eyes of men, a leader of the Jews, proclaiming and teaching people to walk in righteousness, believed in Jesus, but yet Jesus says, you don't know. He had never been born again. He didn't understand the things of the Spirit. He, even though he claimed Jesus was a teacher, he says, you don't accept what I say. As a matter of fact, I can't even teach you things of the Spirit because you can't even accept the earthly things.
Exactly.
And so I tell people, do you understand the significance of this? Nicodemus thought he believed, and yet there's a lot of people who think they like the light. But it's not what we think. It's what God says. You can say you like the light, just as I'm sure Nicodemus says that he liked the light and that he liked righteousness. The issue is, if you still sin, you still have evil deeds, well, then God says you love darkness. It doesn't matter what you believe. Verse 20.
For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
That's right. Everyone who does evil hates the light. You can say you love the light. Do you still sin? Okay. God says you hate the light. Remember, Jesus came into the world to take away sin. No one who abides in Jesus sins. No one who sins has seen him or known him.
Amen.
Little children, make sure no one deceives you. Now, this is from 1 John chapter 3. Go read and meditate on that word. It's very powerful. It lines up well with this.
You bet.
But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been worked in God. Now, we don't have any other response of Nicodemus's follow-up or any of that, but what we do have clearly is what Nicodemus, what appears of what he thought by his own statements and his own belief, and how Jesus rebukes him and says, you don't know. You're a teacher. You don't know. You're still in darkness. You haven't been born again. He doesn't really believe. Even though you say you accept my teaching and claim and acknowledge that I'm from God, you deny it. You don't. And this is where I challenge people. Is your faith of Nicodemus, or do you have a faith that's transforming, a faith of power, a faith that demonstrates a proof of faith, the true grace of God in your life? Two other quick passages to highlight associated with Nicodemus. In John chapter 7, verse 50. Now, the background here is, people were disputing of Jesus when he would teach whether or not he's the Christ. And, they were all debating. And at one point, the Pharisees sent officers to seize him in chapter 7, verse 32. But yet, they didn't bring him back because, different people were debating on who Christ was. There's a division. So the officers came back. And what does it say in verse 45?
Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man.
And so the Pharisees then answered them and said, you have not been led astray also, have you? And then they address the Pharisees, and they say, no one of the rulers or the Pharisees has believed in him, has he?
But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed.
So he says, no, they're accursed. Now, Nicodemus, who, right, believed, wink, wink, believed in Jesus before, well, he has to stand up and say something because, again, Nicodemus believes that Jesus is from God. So what does Nicodemus say in verse 50?
Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hears him and know what he doeth?
So Nicodemus is trying to stand up for Jesus and say, listen, our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from the man and understands what the man is doing. So we need to talk to him first. Well, Jesus already talked to him. Jesus already said he believed him. Well, why wasn't Nicodemus standing up for him here? Kyle, it's similar to a lot of people who have their faith, but when it really counts, if there's a point where they might be embarrassed or they might have to really take a stand, and if they're all by themselves or outnumbered, some people kind of cower. They won't do it, or they'll do it in fear. Some people will do it, and they're almost, I'd say, boastless recklessness. But yeah, there's other things in their life that indicate, they're still slaves of sin. Here, Nicodemus, he didn't stand up for Christ. And that kind of leads to the question of why did he come to Jesus in the night previously? But they answered him in verse 52, the Pharisees answering Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee. Now, here's another thing. Nicodemus apparently didn't understand this aspect. Earlier it talked about when they're debating about Christ and where he comes from. In verse 41, it says, others were saying, this is the Christ. Still others were saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David, from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division. Now, if the Pharisees truly knew the word of God and didn't know part of the word of God, they would know that the prophecy has multiple prophecies. Not only does it say that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the Messiah would be from Galilee, a light would shine out from Galilee to the people, and also that he would be a Nazareth. So if they knew, if they truly knew all of Scripture, they wouldn't have been deceived. But here it is. This, again, shows the danger. Is your faith like that of Nicodemus? Do you only know part of Scripture where you can kind of justify your belief with certain Scripture, but yet with other Scripture, when you're confronted with it, it seems confusing, so you just skip it or you don't know what to think?
Or that Scripture condemns your faith.
Yeah. Or do you have to come up with some creative interpretation because you just don't know how to reconcile it?
Exactly.
Again, that's a faith of Nicodemus because he didn't have understanding. Don't be like Nicodemus or have the faith of Nicodemus. But again, people say, no, but you don't understand. I have desires. I have this. We've covered that in the book of Isaiah, how people have a desire for God, long for him to read, to be near, to walk in righteousness, to fast. God says, that's fine. You're still in darkness. You're still in darkness, just like Nicodemus was still in darkness. It doesn't matter what your intentions are. The question is, do you measure up under the evaluation of God? Now, recently, we just did an episode about the new heart, the new spirit. We did an episode, I think it was part two, that talked about how God's going to examine you, your heart, your thoughts. In John chapter 19, after Jesus is crucified and he dies, in verse 39, in verse 38, Joseph of Arimathea goes to, but it says he was a secret one for fear of the Jews. You know, that's funny, right? A secret follower of Christ because of fear of man. You know, the Bible says, if you know, as Jesus said, listen, if you're afraid of man, if you deny me, you can't be my disciple. Jesus taught also to people, he says, don't fear man. Only thing man can do is kill your body, but they can't destroy your soul in hell, which is what the Father can do. But he goes and asks for the body. And then what does it say about Nicodemus in verse 39?
And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight.
So he brought a lot of stuff. I mean, it sounds like that was probably fairly expensive.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't matter that he's seeking or serving or doing this until you come to the truth. Until God gives you eyes to see and ears to understand, until you've been born the Spirit of God and know what that is, not as man defines, not as man teaches, but as God's word teaches, and you've experienced the result, then you still have the faith of Nicodemus. Father, I pray today as people are listening that your word will convict them of truth. Father, there is so much of a greater promise, a greater freedom, a greater power, a greater knowledge and love of knowing you, abiding, walking in holiness and in life, walking in power with God. Father, I pray that people would dig deeper. They would humble themselves, O God, and ask you to free them, to give them the true knowledge of God. Father, those that are, I pray that you'll continue to bless their work, that you will help multiply the fruit of their labor, that you will send them out, O God, into the harvest and bring more into the kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.